to be here with each and every one of you. You can be seated for just a moment. I do not want to take too much time, but I do want to talk around the room. And Ryan, Andrew, it's so good to be doing ministry with you here today. And I am proud of what God's doing in your lives. And we've seen the miracles of God. Amen. And it was an honor and a pleasure to serve as the youth director for the state of Alabama, youth and discipleship director. And one of the things that I loved was the connection with our youth pastors and children's pastors, and in a way, being a pastor to them. And I get to do that. I get that great honor now for many youth pastors, children's pastors in Florida. And I ask for your prayers and just ask for your prayer to send the blessing of God upon us in this new season of our lives. Amen. What an honor, Pastor, to be here with you and your family. Your three beautiful children. And I won't try to name them because I will mess that up, and you will appreciate that. I will tell you a funny story. I was at his previous assignment to dedicate Titus, and I miscalled his daughter the entire time. So you were there. You were witness to that. But I can truly say that, Pastor, I love you and your family. Your wife is the best part of you. But we understand. Y'all give that beautiful young lady a hand, the beautiful pastor's wife. And listen, he's full of energy, but it truly takes a balance to be able to minister effectively. So thank you for this opportunity to stand here today and to open this revival. Miss Leanne, great to see you. And she is a close friend with my wife, who is back in Tampa with my youngest. And pray for her. They're doing a great job. My wife has just jumped into the role. Miss Elizabeth, I see you back there as well. Amen. So many friends. Thank you for allowing me to be here. How many of you this morning enjoy waiting? That's what I thought. This is a Pentecostal church, but nobody raised their hand right there. Amen. I do not like waiting. And I know, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I am supposed to exude patience. Amen? I am supposed to be a leader in learning how to wait and being positive during the waiting period. If you want to this morning, you can turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I'm going to preach on the subject or the topic waiting. I am the guy who dreads going to the doctor because I know we're going to do what? We're going to wait. Over 20 years ago, I called a doctor's office. I previously had a surgery, and I was having some complication. And I called the desk, and the young lady answered, and I said, "Hey, I need to schedule an appointment with the doctor because I am having some complications." And she said, "Hold on just a moment," which didn't make me happy. And so when she finally got back on the phone, she said, "Well, you're going to have to wait for a month because the doctor is booked up." And Pastor, I'd love to tell you that my inflection was still kind and all of that, but it was not. I remember I said, "Young lady," and you guys know it got serious. And I said, "Young lady, let me tell you something." I said, "The reason that you're so nonchalant about this is because it's not your body and you're not having to wait. But this is me and this is my body." And she said, "Sir, hold on one moment." And I waited a little more, and she got back on the phone and she said, "The doctor will see you in a couple of days. Be here at so-and-so time." I just know this today. Sometimes waiting is hard, but it's for the right things. Amen. Stand with me today for the reading of God's Word. I believe God's going to do something in this revival. I believe it started the moment that the thought was planted, Pastor Tyler, in your heart to do this. I believe miracles began right there because of your obedience. No one knows like a pastor and the staff the work required to pull off a set of services like this. But the moment you guys dedicated to it, God began to orchestrate good things for the people of this community. God began to orchestrate miracles, signs, and wonders for you. Hallelujah. Let's read this morning, Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It's very simple, one verse of scripture. Jesus says, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry. Somebody say tarry. That's T-A-R-R-Y, not T-E-R-R-Y. But tarry, in other words, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. We're going to talk about waiting this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for, again, the opportunity to minister to the amazing people of Living Light Church of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, today that you will put the right words in my mouth. You know hearts that need to be healed. You know marriages, God, that need to be strengthened. You know, God, the unbeliever who needs to feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit this morning. So, God, yes, I've prepared. Yes, I've planned. But, God, I'm here to do according to your work and according to your plan. Speak through me today with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, let our hearts be anointed to receive that we might see the manifestation of your plan in our lives. I thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. You can be seated, and I'll just say this. The quieter you are, the longer I preach. Amen. Amen. So Luke chapter 24, 49, if you want to go back into the previous scriptures, just even of that chapter, Jesus has been resurrected and he is appearing to the disciples. In fact, probably one of the headings in your Bible, if you have headings over the chapters and over the different breakings of the scripture, you'll see it talks about the Emmaus Road. Jesus is appearing to them. Not only is he appearing to them, but he is communicating with them. In fact, in those scriptures, the Bible tells us that he opened their eyes to the scripture. A lot of things they didn't understand about this whole thing they had just been through. A lot of things about why you walk away from everything you've ever known to follow a man for 3.5 years, and then he tells you he's going away. All of those things begin to be opened up to them. They begin to understand and put the prophecies together and put the scripture together to understand this had to happen this way for the plan of God to unfold. Now they've gained understanding. Now they are getting the picture. And Jesus says something to them, though, that I love right here. He says, Behold, hold on, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I'm going to get my words out in just a moment. Somebody say amen. And the premise is the promise of what God wants to do in their lives. I just want to stop by a few minutes this morning and talk about waiting. But I've come by to tell you today, we're not in the place of disheartened waiting. I am not in the place. The Bible says deferred hope makes the heart sick. I'm not sick today because I'm not missing out on what heaven has for me. Hallelujah. And if Jesus makes a promise, we know that promise is going to come true. The scripture says it like this: God is not a man that he should lie. If you want to put that in more modern terms, God isn't like us. He doesn't have the option to lie. He is God. He is holy. Amen. And here's what I've come by to tell you today. I believe God has a personal promise for each and every one of us. I know we can get weirded out with some scriptures that don't necessarily apply to us and try to claim certain things, but I'm not into that this morning. I'm here to tell the house of God there are some definite promises that apply to you and to me, and we've not missed them in 2025. Hallelujah. I've come by to tell the church, in fact, in these last days, the promises are now more true than they've ever been, and they're still unfolding, and God is still the master of those promises. Hallelujah. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you were endued with power. Hallelujah. That was going to take investment. That they were going to have to work at this. This was not going to be easy. Probably had to pay for some hotel rooms. Come on, somebody say amen. Y'all know how expensive it is to eat out now. Come on, amen. I don't know if their inflation was like our inflation, but there was some investment that had to take place for them to be in the right place. Hallelujah. I know some of you this morning, you may have been very busy this week. You may have had a hard week, but I've come to tell you today, your investment is going to pay off in dividends. Not because I'm the preacher, not because I've wrote some amazing sermon, but because God is God over his promises. See, I want to remind somebody today that there are some promises of God you need to look for again in your life. And it's impossible for me. I'm not a psychic. If I was, it's demonic. Amen. I'm not a psychic. I don't know the conversations that you've had with God. I don't know the things that you've been praying about in the night hour, in the closet. But I've come by to remind you, hallelujah, that his promises are still yes and amen. Oh, I hope you'll hold on to that with me right now. Because it's not easy when you're waiting. It's not easy when you see the other person get up and go back ahead of you. It's not easy when they get their blessing, but you're still over here just kind of twiddling your thumbs. I want you to know today, my God is faithful. Hallelujah this morning. I don't know what your promise is. Maybe you need to get a promise. I promise you this morning, if you'll open the Word of God, the Holy Ghost will lay claim to your life. Hallelujah. You need a promise this morning. God's not dead. He's still speaking. Oh, hallelujah. He's not mute. He is still, hallelujah, speaking his grace over each and every individual in the house of God this morning. The other day, I was prompted by the Holy Spirit, Pastor. For the most part, in my life, I've been able to just let God take me where the sails have taken me. Still trying to do that. But the other day, in a time of prayer, the Holy Spirit quickened me. And something I've not done in a long time, the Holy Spirit said, Ryan, it's time for you to get specific with me. See, I'm telling you this today because some of you are just kind of going wherever the wind blows. And that's okay if that's the Holy Ghost wind. Come on, somebody say amen. But I do believe there's somebody today under the sound of my voice that the Holy Spirit's also prompting you. It's time to get specific. I'm telling you, you'd have thought, I wasn't bashful, Pastor Tyler, when I started talking, when I responded to the Holy Ghost. I started laying them out. I even did my finger like that to emphasize it. Amen. I started telling the Holy Ghost exactly what I wanted. And you know what? Some of it was carnal in respect to other things in this life. But I thought, you know what? If God just told me to be specific in my asking, I'm going to ask. And as the scripture says, I am going to receive. Hallelujah. I'm going to knock on this door, and in God's timing, my God, I'm just going to walk right on in to the blessing and the promise of God. Some of you need to get in the habit of prophesying according to your faith. And I'm not talking about just going up and trying to tell people what they're going to do tomorrow. I'm talking about declaring the goodness of God as the Holy Spirit gives you the unction. Somebody give him praise up in this house this morning. I'm aiming for 40 minutes. We'll see how that goes. We're in anticipation. The disciples knew something big was going to happen in Jerusalem. I want to tell you something big lies ahead of the church. And we have forgotten about it. The culture of this nation has forgotten about it. And it's the reason we're in the shape that we're in. What am I talking about? The promise that he is coming again. That one day the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are alive and remain will go up to meet them in the air. Matthew chapter 24. Go and read those signs. Go also, I believe it's Luke chapter 21. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go read Revelation and hold the book up and look around while you read those things. And you'll probably do what I did and say, yep, that's what I see. But I've come by to tell you today, I'm not disheartened by what I see and what I hear. Oh, I know men are waxing cold. And I know that in the last days, there's a great falling away. And I've read all of those things. But here's what I know. When I see these things, means I lift up my head, for my salvation draws nigh. Church, we need to get excited about the coming of the Lord again. Our grandchildren need to hear us talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how great it's going to be to get to the shores of heaven. Can I get an amen this morning? You know why this generation isn't looking for it? Because we quit talking about it. And from what I can see about this generation, they have more depression. They deal with more things that previous generations did. Why don't we tell them about the good thing that God has stored up for them? Eye has not seen. Come on, somebody say amen. Oh, God's got something glorious stored up for us. Young people, I want you to know this world's going to be full of pain. This world is full of troubles. You're going to need some perseverance, but your Heavenly Father who loves you in John chapter 14 said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, guess what? I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm going to receive you to myself. There's going to be a trumpet sound. Hallelujah. I'm getting out of here. Y'all can hang around if you want to. I'm going to the reward that God has prepared, that He promised for me. Pastor, I'll need a Red Bull before tonight. I can already tell. Some of us, let me say it that way, we just come to church out of due diligence, for lack of a better term. Habit. And it's good that you come to church. That's a good habit. I'm not mad at you for that. Come on, somebody say amen. But what if we came to church anticipating? I think the Pentecostal church ought to have the corner on this little thing I'm about to talk about. Well, that was Alabama speak right there, if I've ever heard it. Amen. We ought to have the corner on what Pentecost promises to an unbelieving world. Y'all are going to get nervous with me right here. But if you go and read Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Are there any believers up in the house today? I know that there are some people you work with, you hang around with, they're scared of the Pentecostal church because they talk in weird languages, and I've heard things about them, but I've come by to tell you, when the demon of alcoholism attacks their family, they know there's a Pentecostal church that has the power through the Holy Ghost to... He said, in my name you'll cast out devils. Hallelujah. There's still power in the Pentecostal church today to declare the word of God and cast out evil spirits. Hallelujah. There needs to be an expectation that when they come in, they feel the conviction of God. They don't dodge the conviction, but the conviction brings them to the altar where the power of God is on display to set men free. And I say it like I feel it. Because I think me and you kind of come from the same vein. If that scares you, you're in trouble. Because we're in a culture that is oppressed by the demonic. But I've come by to declare, in 2025, there is still a church who's not afraid. However, and I'm not asking for it this morning, I just know if there's one that manifests up in this house today, I know the name that deals with it. His name is Jesus. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. I believe it's time for the church to get a new word in its mouth. Now listen, I believe in the judgment. I believe we have to discern the spirits. I believe we have to declare truth in its fullness. But we need to put the word of God in our mouth. Amen. I know what was in my mouth before I got saved, Tyler. I worked in a steel mill in Mobile, Alabama. And even though I wasn't saved, I found out there's things I've never heard of before. There are words that I learned there. And I picked up on those words. Hallelujah. And I picked up on the vitriol, and I picked up on the hatred, and I picked up on the bitterness. But it was when God saved me and sanctified me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, He delivered me and put a new language in my mouth that connects me directly to the ear of God. Like Paul, I wish that you all spake with other tongues. Amen. We in the Church of God believe it is the initial evidence. Amen. I want my children. I want my grandchildren. I want these children. I know some of you are almost adults, so just bear with me. I'm old. I got white hair. Amen. I want you all to speak in tongues because it is a sign that the Holy Ghost is present in your life. And there is one directing you that the enemy cannot stop. Amen. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Now, I've preached here before, so you guys know my opinion about this. They will take up serpents. I'm not handling any snakes. You keep your rattlehead copper moccasins at home. Amen. They will take up serpents. And let's go on. Let's get the context. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means harm them. You know what I hear in that right there? It's not that I'm going to go out here and take up the devil. It's that there is a divine protection over those that are trusting God. Listen, if Paul can ride out a hurricane hanging on to a piece of wood and then get shipwrecked on the shore and get bitten by a viper and shake it off into the fire, I think God can take care of you and me in these last days. I don't know if you voted. I don't care which way you voted this last election. I just know this. The hand of God's protection is over my life because I am walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. My Lord, don't get mad at your pastor when he wants to tarry a little while and pray for people to receive the Holy Ghost. That one was free. Amen. Take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means harm them. I love this one right here. And they will lay hands on the sick. This ought to be on display. If they're sick, they're going to recover when they get into the presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They're going to be healed. Amen. Talk about anticipation. I believe people outside these four walls ought to be doing everything they can to get here. I believe just like the woman with the issue of blood, I believe she had already begun to think about what her life was going to be like after she touched him. It's going to be different. It's going to be better. I'm going to live and walk in the promises of God. I'm going to walk out uprightly. I'm not going to tell anybody I'm unclean. I'm going to declare the goodness of Almighty God. Somebody give him a hand clap in this house today. I've got more notes, but I'm going to the next point. If my computer will come back on, somebody say amen. The second word. The first word was anticipation. The second one is alignment. You get the promise, but you got to align yourself for it. Tarry in Jerusalem until. Amen. I've come by to tell somebody today in very simple terms, don't quit going to church because you haven't seen it yet. Don't quit church because it has not yet happened the way you want it to. I understand hope deferred makes the heart sick, but I'll tell you what will make the heart dance. One of you talked about David dancing out of his kingly clothing. I tell you what causes a man to do that when the promise comes to pass. Woo. Now David got himself in a fix the first time he tried to bring the ark back into Jerusalem. But then he aligned himself. He said, we got to find out how we do this the right way. Because it killed one of us and we couldn't get it here, but we want the glory. So we better get the priest and get a little input from them. And we better figure out the order that God wants. But then the glory will come to the city. I was disobedient long enough in my life. I'm trying to be obedient to God now. Amen. One of the ways you align yourself for the promise of God, for the goodness of God, is simply walk out your faith in obedience. And at risk of being a clothesline preacher today, because every man has to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling, I'm trying to walk carefully right here. Amen? We know the thou shalt not, don't we? Probably most of the kids have the little hand signals where they can talk all the way through all 10. If these are the thou shalt not, I don't want to be here. I want to be in the freedom of God. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, say it with me, there is freedom. There is liberty. You know why that applies? Because I'm not over there misaligned with the goodness of God. I'm over here where the goodness of God can work and move and orchestrate. My Lord Jesus. What am I saying to us today? One of the things this world uses against us are our sins that sometimes are on display. And it hinders us. Amen? So I'm just here to charge the church to walk in obedience. If watching my mouth allows the blessing and the promise of God to overtake my children, I'm going to watch my mouth. I know we pick on certain things, but I'm going to go there, Pastor. Amen? Is that okay? All right, you said it. You shook your head yes. Don't get mad at me now. I know what we believe in the Church of God. In fact, it's written out in black and white. But if saying no to alcohol, Paul told Timothy, take a little for your stomach. That was medicinal. Come on, somebody say amen. But here, see, some of you want to fight about that little bit right there when there's a bigger picture to this thing. Amen? I don't know who y'all are pointing at, but my God, amen. I'm walking over here, Pastor. I'm getting more trouble over there. You know what I'm saying? If abstaining from what the world sees as much fun, if abstaining from alcohol means that my children grow up to be healthy and whole adults and know how to deal with life and deal with stress, I don't need your alcohol. I've got the peace that passes understanding living inside of me. I don't have to go take a drink to get peace to go to sleep. I call on the name of the Lord, the very present help in time of trouble. I'm not here to beat anybody down today. I'm just saying there's something better than a bottle. Hallelujah this morning. Woo! Align yourself. I knew this is going to get mushy. I knew that in ministry, ladies, I love you. I have 4 daughters and I have a good looking wife. But just as there's some crazy men, some crazy ladies. She just gave me a dirty look right there. I knew that if I was going to be successful in ministry, God had to put the right person beside me. And that meant I had to align myself with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know why I said that. Hopefully my wife's watching and she's smiling right now. The blessing of God is on my life. And her name is Paula. Amen. Amen. Please be watching. Amen. Literally, I prayed, God, I'm going into ministry. I got to have the right person. You got to set it in order. And I'll walk in that order if you'll help me with this. Amen. And listen. She's only shot at me 4 times. We've been married over 27 years. We've got 4 babies, and the Lord is good. Somebody say amen in this house this morning. Is it all right to laugh a little bit? She's missed every time. How do I align myself? I align myself with holiness. Again, your pastor sets the tone for the culture of this body. But the Bible tells us very directly, without holiness, no man shall see God. Listen, You're not going to carry. You're not going to carry on, shall I say, in rebellion and sin and see the goodness of God. Listen, I want to be under the outflow of what God's doing in my life. I want to be positioned in the right place for protection. I want to be positioned in the right place for His providence. We sang all about it this morning. I want to be positioned in the right place. I want to align myself under God's flow so that there can be healing in my life. Tell your neighbor, line up. If it means I've got to take my entourage. And for that mean me, that just means a wife and four daughters and a granddaughter and a son-in-law. And go dip in the Jordan River. What are you doing? Well, that crazy prophet guy said, if I go dip in this water, I'll be made clean. Well, that don't make sense. That's one of the nastiest rivers around here. Amen. I don't know. I agree with you. But I am tired of this. Hallelujah. If you will align yourself in obedience and holiness to God, you will find the promises of God. Amen. Listen, they didn't have time to go to Jericho. They didn't have time to go to Assyria. What they knew was there was a promise coming in Jerusalem. Somebody go book the local hotel. Somebody rent their room and let's set up and let's get ready, because Jesus said if we'll tarry, if we'll wait here, if we'll align ourselves, we'll receive the promise of the Father. Hallelujah this morning. Tell your neighbor again, line up. We've got anticipation. We need that in the church again. We've got alignment. And listen, when we have those, and again, I know there's a lot more theology here, but we have access. Woo! What do I mean by access? Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2. See, the problem in Jesus' day was if you, and please, I know there's, we got to be very careful talking about this, especially over live stream. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm just talking about the culture of religion in that day among the Jews, okay? If you were not a Jew, you didn't get access. You didn't go in to where the worship took place. In fact, even if you were a Jew, if you were physically dismembered or physically disabled, you didn't get to go in. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? What if... they would never do this, but what if the ushers met you at the door today and said, you can't come in, and they started listing the reasons you couldn't come to church? If you've heard about them preaching, heard them preaching about healing and help and casting out these demons and the Lord doing healing in the services, but you walked up to that door, and they said, no, you don't drive a nice enough car. I'm going to get where... we were at in those times. You're not the right race. You're not a son or a daughter of Abraham by lineage. Are y'all with me? Thank God, on the day of Pentecost, God granted humanity access. Yes, it was 120 Jewish people in that upper room when the Holy Spirit, as cloven tongues of fire, came down out of heaven as a rushing mighty wind and sat upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues. But it signified a change in heaven. Hallelujah. How do I know that? Because people walking by who had no tie to those Jews, who had no tie to their lineage, who had no tie to them at all, didn't know their language, didn't know their culture, oh, all of a sudden begin to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in their own language. I've come by to tell you today, God's let us into His goodness. God's led us into his promises. Hallelujah. God's led us into his holiness. Yes, he has, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell your neighbor, I have access. What does that mean? That means you don't have to take it from the enemy. When that son or daughter, or husband or wife, or whoever that family member comes home and makes some ungodly declaration about themselves, you're going to make them mad. But you might ought to just get a bottle of anointing on, dump it on their head, and go to praying in tongues for them. Amen. Because I have access. I'm not here to demean any other organization that is a church. I don't have to go through anybody else, though. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I have access. Hallelujah. If demons torment my children, I have access. I'm not going to call you. I'm calling him. And I'm going to call their name out in prayer. Hallelujah. I don't just have access to call on him. I have access to allow him to do what I've called on him. I'm preaching better than you're shouting right here. Amen. I have access to the heavenly now. Hallelujah. I'm not a member of a country club. There's a country song like that that I'm not going to sing. There are a lot of merits that I cannot claim. But I can claim I'm a child of the living God today. Somebody give him some praise in the house. People passing by had no intention of getting involved in a church service. But old Luke's in there. Luke's smart. He's a physician. But I hear something that I understand. And God's given me access. God's given me a way. God's made a way for me into salvation. Whew. I'm okay. I'm just breathing. We get rejected in this world for many reasons. In fact, many people today are reeling from rejections. This is a healing word I feel like the Holy Spirit's giving me right now, Pastor. I'm not going to pass it up. I'm speaking to somebody right here. There was a rejection that was so totally devastating to you. And you've been walking in that devastation, in that rejection. I've come by to tell you today there's healing in this house for you. Can we just bow our heads for a moment and pray for that healing? Heavenly Father, that mind that is destroyed by this, that heart that is devastated by this rejection, God, let healing begin to flow right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, I don't know if it's a spouse. God, I don't know if it's a child. I don't know who it is. But God, let that healing overtake them right now in the name of Jesus. God, you have given us access. And there's a manifestation. God, there's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost in this house today. To bring healing to that heart, to that life. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to preach more on this point right here, but I believe the Holy Spirit just did in 1 minute what I couldn't do in 1,000 years. Healing oil flow on this house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've got one more point I want to make right here. I talked about anticipation. I talked about alignment. I talked about access. And oh, by the way, whoever you are, it is done right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and give him some praise. You're not disqualified.
Oh my God, help us today.
Your sin didn't disqualify you. Hallelujah. For the blood of Jesus was effective at Calvary. Hallelujah. And last one, acceleration. Acceleration. Peter, the one who had rejected Christ publicly, is the one Jesus went to specifically and restored. If somebody wants to come to the music, please. He's in that upper room. He's experienced something he's never experienced before. The fire of the Holy Ghost fell on him, and he began to speak with other tongues. I don't read about an interpretation. I just know there was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, this morning. God was not short-sighted in that room that day, because something happened in Peter. The one who said, I quit, I'm going back to fishing. Boldly he stood up and he began to preach and he began to tell them, I've come by today to tell you this is the fulfillment of prophecy. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, I believe it's down in verse 17, is where I want to go this morning. If you want to open your Bibles to it, please. I believe there's something good that we all need to hear, because acceleration is not only coming to your life, it's coming to this body and it's coming to this community. Peter stands up, and without any hesitation, without fear of death, without any fear whatsoever, he declares to them, and it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Tell your neighbor, I told you I had access. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. God, bring about this new generation. Put the word of God in their mouth. The enemy's tried to slow them up. The enemy's tried to stop them. But God, today you're accelerating them with the power of the Holy Ghost to carry the gospel in the last days. All your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Can I preach to your young people for just a moment? There's more to life than this thing. There's a lot of young people sitting here, but you're seated all around this room. There's more to life than social media. I know I'm just the old man. I get it. But there's so much more to what God has for you. If you're going to have your, can I say it like I say it to my kids? If you're going to have your nose in this thing, then have your Bible pulled up. Get your Bible out, pulled up. There it is. That's what I'm talking about. I don't care which version you read, as long as you read the Word of God. Get the Bible out, pulled up, and start reading, and let God speak some promises over you. It won't matter whether you get the scholarship or not, because God's already paid the way. I'm going to get a little mushy for some of our young people up in here today. It won't matter if that guy or that girl rejected you, because if you've got your promise from God and you walk in it, he's already set Prince Charming in your path. Hallelujah. I don't know what to call the girl. Amen. I better be careful right there. He's already put her in your path, and your life is going to give glory to God. Is that good preaching this morning or no? Some of us are like, I wish I'd read the Bible before I married. Amen. Acceleration when I'm walking in the promises of God. You see, there's a scripture that I love, Romans 8:28. All things. Somebody say that out loud. All things. Y'all know what? I'm going to be bossy right here. Say it in the mic with me. All things. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Oh, you know what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I've taken another step forward in the goodness of God. Oh, then I hear the scripture say, if God be for me, hallelujah. It doesn't matter what my business did. It doesn't matter what HR said to me. If God be for me, who?
can be against me. Stand with me all over this house. Hallelujah. Acceleration. What do I mean by that? Peter stood up. He read, well, he quoted Acts 2:17. And while he's preaching about sons and daughters prophesying, young men seeing visions, old men dreaming dreams, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and their prophecy, while he's doing that, 3,000 people got saved. Pastor, I'm careful with this. In fact, I prayed about it on the way this morning and asked the Lord to direct my words because I don't want to be a charlatan. But I also feel constrained that we prophesy according to our faith. This house is basically full. They say 80%, you got to do something. You're 80%. And I want to declare to you today, and I'm going to say it in the name of Jesus because he filters out the flesh and he filters out the things that I can't control. But in the name of Jesus, I speak acceleration over this house. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right here. I speak acceleration over your family. I speak acceleration over your finances. That's okay. I speak acceleration over your marriage. It's getting better. It's going to glorify God. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm accelerating. There ain't going to be any tickets handed out up in here today. Just blessing. I'm accelerated by the power of the Holy Ghost taking me forward in this life. Lift your hands all over this house. Heavenly Father. God, we anticipate a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to work it up. I can't contrive it, God. We don't chant. We just know that where two or three are gathered together, God, you're there in the midst. God, there are some people who have aligned themselves today. There's somebody in this house today that knew they had to come to this service for a very specific reason. I need you to know today you have asked and you shall receive. God, there are people in this house today. They've aligned themselves. And God, you've granted us access by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, we want to see your manifestation in this house today. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, here's what I've got to do first, Pastor. I'm old-timey. I preached about access through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is for the believer. But for the unbeliever, access to the promises of God and the goodness of God comes through salvation in Jesus Christ. So as you're praying today, as you're seeking God, if there's somebody in this house today, I'm going to do it old-fashioned in this respect as well. If you're in this house today and you need access to God's grace and his mercy and his forgiveness, there are people here that will pray with you. I will pray with you. And listen, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I don't care how big your sin is, grace is bigger. If you don't come to this altar, then at least pray the prayer. Ask God to forgive you and please tell somebody before you leave the grounds today. But if you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit drawing you to the forgiveness of God and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, we want to pray with you. Will you step out where you are right now? Move quickly, move quickly. Is there anyone? I need Jesus to save my life. I need Jesus to change my future. I need him to speak over me. I need access to the goodness of heaven. Heavenly Father, if there's one today, whether they respond to this altar or not, your grace is sufficient. And we pray that salvation, God, not just come to them, but overwhelm them. God, overtake them. Their words, their actions, their deeds, their thoughts, God, their